You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 31st day of January 2014. On the phone line with us to take a look at the commodity markets, Mike Zuzulo, as always, on a Friday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it kind of looks like we're going to have kind of rough sailing this weekend and then next week, too, in the weather forecast here. I suppose sometimes that provides a little lift to the marketplace, at least in the cash side, but maybe more importantly today, we have finished up the month. How did the market do for January?
Not too good in the wheat. For the month of the January, we lost 50 cents or thereabouts 50 cents in Chicago soft red wheat, Todd. But it's interesting because I also saw that the cash wheat at the Gulf for the soft red was now at $1.05 over the March futures, and that was the best basis in a month. And so I think, generally speaking, for corn and wheat, the month of January was the same story, different month, and that is the cash market continued to firm, demand continued to firm, but the futures market and the futures sentiment continued to wane, and the fund market continued to push money out of commodity funds. Bank of America came out with their latest week ending Wednesday, and emerging market stock funds down $6.4 billion. Biggest since August 11. Commodity funds worldwide lost about $1.3 billion in the latest week. That's the biggest drop in outflow in about 5 weeks. And so I think this disparity of the funds versus the fundamentals continues, and most notably in the wheat market.
When it fixes itself, does that mean you'll be looking for a bottom soon in the wheat market?
You know, it's interesting because the what we just talked about, the inflation-deflation mindset, and I think the emerging markets have been hit and the commodity funds have been hit so hard because the market's still in a deflationary mindset. So the inflation-deflationary debate that you and I have talked about a lot, and then the drought monitor and how much precipitation we get over the next 45 days, those things continue to increasingly point to a big low, or a substantial low at least, as we get into the springtime, that we factor in as big a crop as far as 14 corn acres and 14 yield and 14 bean acres and 14 yield. We get up there and figure in as much of a crop supply as we possibly can as we get towards that March 30th acreage and stocks report. And I think we're already heading into that direction with the baseline projections coming up in here in about 15 to 18 days. And so we start Monday with the figuring of the average base price for crop insurance, and we have the monthly supply-demand report, and then we go into the baseline projections, the outlook meeting by USDA on the 20th and 21st, and then we finish with the acreage report on the end of the month, stocks report at the end of the month. These things all suggest to me that the new crop market continues to push the old crop down, with the idea that, yes, demand's improving in corn and wheat, but we've still got big, big supplies coming on board in new crop.
Well, yes, I wondered about that. Right now, when you look at the soft red winter wheat crop in the United States, the hard red winter wheat crop, one of two things has happened. Either they're worried a little bit about the cold temperatures and lack of snowfall, or in combination with the lack of snowfall, lack of precipitation in the drier areas to the west of us, that would mean a limited size of the crop. But on the global marketplace, what do the stocks look like for the new crop in terms of other places in the northern hemisphere that have a wheat crop that would come on? I'm thinking Ukraine, China, other places, France, that might have a crop that you could look at.
Yeah, no major issues right now, and I think this is the key. We don't have any major issues right now in those other areas that we know about. There are minor issues, I think, in just about every one of those areas, whether it's Russia and the Ukraine, Britain having too much flooding, China getting some inclement weather about 3 weeks ago, but nothing that the market thinks is substantial or enough to put risk premium into the market. And I think this is where the 1996-2006 model year for corn and wheat continues to play a role in my analysis, because it suggests that we're taking risk premium out of the new crop prices, letting old crop be pulled down with the new crop. And then if we would happen to have less than perfect or less than ideal weather, the trade may have to come back and reevaluate that. Why? Because the demand is really staying strong, especially in the corn. I mean, we're talking about 80% better than last year in terms of export commitments for corn, 38% better in wheat, but yet we don't want to really carry much new crop weather risk premium because of this demand, because we don't see any problems lying ahead. And again, going back to the acreage issue and what we may see in terms of bigger acres with CRP and some of the other things.
Turn your attention to the corn market, and we'll back into it through the cattle numbers that were released at 2 o'clock Central Time. What did you see in that report this afternoon?
It met expectations that we are dealing with numbers not seen since 1949 and 1951. And as far as the calf crop, it's the smallest since 1949 at 33.7 million head. Excuse me, Jan 1 cattle and calf inventory at 82.1 million head, lowest since 1951. And so you add this to the PED virus and you add this to the avian flu issue, and you do have a feed demand issue that you have to keep your eyes on. We could increase weights to offset some of these lower numbers. I think that's highly likely given the retail prices and given what the producers are able to get from the packers if consumption stays strong. But we still have to watch the feed consumption side, because we do have a number of issues that would say it's going to be hard to increase the consumption. I've even heard today that some of the chick placements and poultry placements are getting impacted by the tight supplies of propane. So these issues will play a role in the springtime and certainly limit the increase in the feed and residual.
And the cattle numbers, they finished higher for the week, but they were off their highs on the week. Do we have another leg up now?
I think that's probably the case. We had a bearish cattle on feed report last week, and the market threw that away and started off weaker, but then ended very, very strong in the second part of the week. I think your cattle and your hogs are working together now to support each other, and that goes back to the beef price and what packers are willing to pay off, tighter hog numbers. Those things are all adding to the idea that if the stock market doesn't break hard, then we probably do have another try to get up and try and make a double top. But I think you're at that zone. The swing objective for me in the live cattle with clients last week was around that 145, 146 level. We could go to 148 and maybe even stretch it to 150, but I don't think it's worth the risk to take and let $3 to $5 get in the way of locking in really good profit, especially with these corn prices where they're at.
For the month, nearby March corn was up 12, but December corn on the month, down a quarter of a cent.
Yeah, and this is the theme all week long and all month long when it came to the corn, the beans, and the wheat. We had July wheat down 16, almost 17 cents, while March was only down a dime. New crop beans down 4 today, 4 and a quarter, while the March was only down a penny. This theme of the new crop being able to pull down the old crop, even with strong demand, I think is running through all of the commodities in the grains right now, but most notably in corn and wheat.
Anything on the soybeans?
I think the big thing about the soybeans is the bull spread did give way to a negative close. We were at 152, breaking above 150 in the July Nov bean spread. We closed at 147. That is not a good close, and I think if you don't feed the bull and you start to hear more cancellations by China, the trade probably won't like that in the front-end prices. So be very cautious if you're holding old crop beans here.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzalo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas.